and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm Jennifer. Today on our show, we've got a fun episode for those of you who love bicycles. We're joined today by Harry Rybacki, and he's the president of Oaks and Spokes, and Dawn Kaiser, the group's marketing and outreach coordinator. Welcome, Dawn and Harry.
Hello.
Hey.
Glad you guys are here. Thank you so much for joining us. So, like I said, we're talking about Oaks and Spokes today. For our listeners who have no idea what Oaks and Spokes is, can you tell us a little bit about the group?
Yeah, sure. Well, in short, Oaks and Spokes fosters the community of people who ride bikes in Raleigh.
Yeah. So how long ago did you guys get started?
About 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Don, how long have you been with the organization?
I've been with the organization about 2 years now.
Okay, great. So not too long ago, maybe you guys can refresh my memory on when, but you guys received status as a 501c3 organization. Why is that a really important part of your goals?
Yeah, so Oaks and Spokes really had its beginnings as a true grassroots group. But I guess the original impetus for the 501c3 was that the folks putting in a lot of effort felt like it was necessary to take this step towards becoming a more formally recognized entity. Obviously, they were able to operate without it for many years. The community knows us pretty well. The other advocacy organizations within the city and around North Carolina know us pretty well. But having 501c3 status does provide us with some legitimacy when we reach out to other organizations that don't know us. And it takes away some fiscal limitations that we had in place, which limited our ability to raise funds and spend those funds on projects, you know, on a yearly basis.
Sure. So Oaks and Spokes, I know you guys, I think, through a couple of different projects that you've done, and maybe you've done more, but I was checking your website, and some of the main ones are the bike corrals and the bike repair stations. So first up, let's talk about the bike corral. This was like the first one in North Carolina, right? 2013?
Yeah. The first bike corral was Christy Jackson, a.k.a. Christy Dactyl, who is the group's one of the founders. And there's something, she's originally from Wisconsin, and she was used to seeing them in Milwaukee, noted that there weren't very many in Raleigh, or any, I guess. She facilitated the process, working with both business owners and the city, and if I recall, she was able to get the first corral donated from Saris, I think I'm saying that right, a company that designs bike racks. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the one, in case listeners are wondering, it's in front of Raleigh Times at the corner of Harget and Wilmington Streets. Yeah, the way I understand it, that's the first one in North Carolina. So that must have been pretty exciting for you guys.
I actually was not even aware it was the first one in North Carolina, so I think that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, it is. And there's two more corrals that have popped up recently. One in front of what used to be Cafe Muertos, which is very sad it's closed, and another in front of Bolted Bread. Did you guys help with those two also?
Yeah, so actually all three were part of the original project plan. The city identified the three on-street spaces that could be used, but it took a while to get the second and the third corrals. It's nice to see them in place now and in use on a regular basis, but it is a shame about Muertos. That was a pretty solid community hub.
Yeah, yeah, they seemed like they were bike-friendly over there.
They were.
But at least now there's still a bike corral in place in our spot.
We do really love the one in front of Bolted, though. I work there, so... And I ride my bike, and it's awesome.
Yeah, you need to bike over there if you're going to eat all the yummy bread.
Exactly.
So another great project you guys initiated was the installation of three bike repair stations in Raleigh. Can you tell us a little bit more about how that all went down?
So Christy is a doer, and after the corral was good to go, she wanted another real-world project to work on. She and other Oaks and Spokes folks attended a lot of meetings, showed up to city council, and made a lot of recommendations. It was kind of designed as a way to get more people, more citizens involved. So, because we did like crowd fundraising for
the repair stations.
The repair stations, yep. Yeah. But we asked the city to match funds, and we were able to get them installed. And we're slowly taking responsibility as of recently for maintaining them as well.
Yeah, Christy, who's right now heading up the tactical committee, actually leads group rides on a regular basis, out to go check on them and then repair them.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, the one I see the most is in front of Marbles, mm-hmm. but there's two others. Can you remind me where those are?
Anderson Point and...
The Wetland Center.
Yes.
Okay. And are there more in the works?
Not presently, but we would always love to have more.
We would really like to have more.
Okay. You mentioned cost a minute ago. How much, if you guys know, how much those cost each?
I don't recall.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I'll look it up and I'll put that in our show notes. The main reason we're having you in at this particular time is because May is National Bike Month, yay! And you guys have your big Oaks and Spokes Festival coming up, and that's an annual event, which it takes place in May, coincidentally, or not. The Oaks and Spokes Bike Festival takes place May 5th through 14th, so can you tell me more about that?
So this year is actually the 5th anniversary of the Oaks and Spokes Festival, and it started pretty small. It kind of started as just a couple of events. Some people might remember, like a bike art show and a tweed ride. And Sam Bennett, who is another one of the founding members, was talking to Christy one weekend, apparently kind of a funny story about him buying her a hamburger, and it was a really good hamburger. But basically they started talking about how awesome it would be to make it into a weekend event, basically. And then it just sort of grew from there, and every year we've been adding new events, different events, just kind of seeing what people are interested in.
Great, great. So do you guys each have a favorite event?
Ooh, I don't know if I have a favorite event. I guess my favorite thing about the festival is just how it comes together every year. It's community designed, implemented, and executed. So last year was my first year with Eyes on the Process, and it was pretty cool. We formed a festival committee, which Evan Brigham, the previous external coordinator, he was the director last year. But there was just an open community space. A bunch of people came, and then we, like, that day picked out the duration, what events we were going to hold. We identified volunteers to chair subcommittees for each event. And 4 months later, we had, what was it last year, 7 days?
It was also 10 days last year.
Oh, 10 days.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's really impressive, having worked on, like, event organization with people before. Sometimes it's a hard slog, so it's pretty impressive that you guys have put this together 5 years in a row now. So for someone who is maybe a bike newbie, you know, who should be attending this? Is it for newbies? Is it for people who are just always, you know, all about the bikes, or what?
I think anyone that has an interest in the community, even if they don't ride themselves, should attend. There really is something for everyone, even if that's just getting out and enjoying the company of other people on bikes. It's Raleigh and it's in May, so you should probably be outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta enjoy the weather before it's 95 degrees. and it looks like you brought us a list here of the events, which there are many. So we'll be linking to these in our show notes, of course. Is there any one in particular you want to highlight or tell us about?
So we do have two or kind of three brand new events for us this year. So we're partnering with Bike MS to do basically a bike month kickoff with a couple of road rides and a picnic. And one that I'm really excited about, a new event, is called Seven Murals and Seven Stories. Basically, it's going to be a short ride around seven of Raleigh's beautiful murals. I'm sure that lots of people have seen them around, but we're going to do a ride to seven of those murals and then end at King's Barcade afterward for a live storytelling event called Seven Stories. And then the other new event is a bike fashion show, which it kind of, you might not be able to get much of a sense of what it is just from the title, but it's more about cycling apparel and featuring everyday people in what they like to ride in, as well as vendors and designers for cycling apparel.
Okay, that's super cool, because I've been thinking I'm going to do a show soon about what people wear to ride their bike in, because a lot of people, I think that's a hindrance. If you're going to work, for example, you've got to figure out changing clothes and showing up sweaty to work, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so exactly. There's also
fantastic. Kind
of the image of the cyclist as being clad in Lycra, and that's not necessarily something that everybody is into. So we want to kind of dispel that myth that encompasses cycling.
Is that maybe the reason for the tweed ride? I know that's a big event every year with your Oaks and Spokes.
Yeah, the tweed rides actually were in the process of uncoupling it from the festival because it's such a big animal in and of itself. And also, tweed is not awesome in May. I don't know if you've ever worn tweed in May, but it's a very hot, thick fabric.
Yes.
So we've started doing it in the fall.
Any other comments about the bike festival that we need to know about?
I think that your point earlier about who should come, it really is for everybody. We have a couple of events that you don't even need. Like, you don't need to own or ride a bike to come. The bike fashion show, the bike in movie, which I'm really excited about this year,
The art show.
The art show, for sure, which is coming up the first Friday. We'll have our premiere of that.
Great. So let's just talk about some bike stuff in general. Why do you guys love bikes? What got you into Oaks and Spokes?
Ooh, that's a...
this could be a long answer.
it could be. I could go on for a long time. Yeah, so I guess I started riding when I was living in Germany. This would have been like 2006. And I just never really stopped. So originally, I really liked biking for the workout and the thrill of riding a mountain bike down a mountain. You know, it's kind of fun.
Yep.
But today, I just see it more as a way to have an active lifestyle and generally take life at a slower pace. You know, I get to connect with the community in a way that's meaningful to me and beneficial to others. Before moving to Raleigh, I spent a year volunteering at Community Bikes. It's this amazing little bike co-op in Charlottesville, Virginia. Wonderful city. People should go there. But the co-op basically emphasized teaching and enabling folks to maintain their own bikes to ensure that everyone had some form of transit. So I got involved with Oaks and Spokes after I moved down here because I wanted to bring that idea of a co-op and enabling people to Raleigh. So I started attending the board meetings, and I never really left.
Oh, how about you, Dawn?
Well, I started riding pretty regularly about 5 years ago. Oddly enough, it was mostly because of a bad breakup, and it was something new to do, to meet new people. And I started attending what at the time was the main social ride in Raleigh, the Benelux Cafe ride. And it was a really awesome group of people. Everyone was so nice, and riding your bike is really fun. And after attending my first Tweed ride and meeting some of the folks that were involved heavily with that, I decided that it was really something that I wanted to be a part of, and helping other people discover how awesome it is to bike, and basically just the sense of community surrounding cycling culture in downtown was really special to me.
Yeah, and it's come a long way, I think, in the last several years. What do you think about the bicycling scene in Raleigh in general?
I think it's growing pretty quickly. In my short time here, I've noticed that there's just a lot more bikes in general. But specifically, there's more bikes when there's adverse weather, when it's raining, when it's really cold, and during traffic hour. I think this is really good. To me, this says that there's a lot more people commuting and utilizing the infrastructure that the community's been asking for.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like as someone who rides, you definitely notice other people out on the road, and it makes me feel good when I see people that I don't know on a bike, because I know that it's growing. And infrastructure-wise, it's definitely getting better every single day, and we like to think that we're a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we did an episode not too long ago about the bike plan, so there's lots more good stuff coming. And speaking of that, is there anything in particular you both hope to see change in the future?
I would like to see more diversity in the riders, and then I guess more interconnectedness of our bike facilities around the city. We've made it a point to ask ourselves how we can encourage more diversity within Oaks and Spokes and our events. So we kind of make it a point to include that in the planning for everything that we're doing. We're also attending all of the CAC, the Citizen Advisory Council meetings around the city, so that folks are aware of us. They know how that we can presently serve them, and they know who to talk to if they need something else.
Where does Oaks and Spokes go from here?
Oh, anywhere that brings us closer to our vision statement. I don't know. We're presently focusing on growing our committees, expanding our member base, and solidifying our processes to ensure that we have a solid sense of continuity as our board members rotate in and out. So we have a membership elected board of 9 that serve on 2-year terms, upmost, for 6 years max.
So if someone wants to learn more about you guys, we'll link to the website in the show notes, but why don't you could just go ahead and give us the URL right here.
Oaksandspokes.com.
There you go. Well, thank you both so much for a great discussion. You can check out the notes and links mentioned in this episode on our website. That's inboundraleigh.com. Also, we want to hear your thoughts about bicycling or your ideas for topics we need to cover on the show. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And don't forget that our show airs first on Little Raleigh Radio. That's a nonprofit whose goal is to make sure that Raleigh's voices are heard. They provide all of our recording equipment, and you can support us and other great shows by donating $5 a month at littleraleighradio.org. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.